Blog
Hi.
Talk Radio.
Hi, and good evening. My name is Nisa. I'm an MSW, which is Masters of Social Work, a former teacher, an auntie, a wife, and I also plan community events. And I wanted to do this show just to have something to do during COVID, but also to just have a conversation with the sisters in the community about what we've been going through, what we've been dealing with during COVID, being stuck in a house, working from home, and the changes that we have to adapt to now that it's our new normal. I'm going to be welcoming my guest, Juana, who is a nurse and a mother. And she works at a local hospital here in the city, and she also works in a public school. She's a registered nurse, and she works in labor and delivery. And she'll be joining us in about a few minutes to just answer a few questions for us regarding COVID and her experience in the hospital. I've known Juana for about 15, 16 years maybe. And she's one of my close friends. Tonight, we have missing from the show my best friend Amina. She's going to be my co-host. But unfortunately, she's out sick with a broken arm. So let's make dua for her that she gets well soon. And she'll be with us hopefully next week or in a few efforts in the future. I also want to welcome my friend Hasana, who has graciously offered to help me with this programming and be my producer. Yay! And I want to see if Hasana wants to say some words.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you all for being here. I'm so excited for you, Nisa. You are just absolutely amazing. I've known Nisa for, we did the math earlier. I've known Nisa for about 14 years. And, you know, she's just really the epitome of sisterhood. She has done so many events for the community. I just remember when I still remember the day I met her. She was actually sitting at Amina's house. And she just actually told me how old she was, and I was way off. But we've done so many events, and Nisa has always been so gracious, not only to me, but to my daughters, Halima, Hannah, and Fatima. And she just always is the first person to try to bring the community together, just like she's doing with this show. And Nisa, I couldn't be more proud of you. This is absolutely so well needed and wonderful. So everyone, please give us a call. The number is 516-387-1905. 516-387-1905.
Thank you, Hasana Shukran. I'm so happy you're doing this with me because, you know, I'm a nervous
person. You're doing amazing.
Public speaking is not my forte, but inshallah, we're going to do this thing and make it work. I also would like to, during some episodes, be able to introduce some businesses. So if anybody has a business that would like to be announced on the show, feel free to email me at sistersofnewyork@gmail.com and just let me know your business, how long you've been in business, what you sell. If you have a Black-owned business, that's good too, because we want to support the Black-owned businesses. And let me know where you're from. I'm from New York, born and raised in Brooklyn. What about you, Hasana?
I am from Queens. I am from Bayside, Queens. Woo-woo!
Okay.
Born and raised.
Okay.
I lived in Brooklyn for a while. I lived in so many places. I lived in East New York. I lived in Newark. But I love Queens. I love you know, I love Bayside and I love Brooklyn. And again, Nisa, I mean, you've just always been so great with just always at the masjid and trying to encourage sisters and always doing events. And Nisa doesn't just do events. She's very modest. She doesn't just do events. I mean, she does events from start to finish. She's done sisters luncheons. She's done spa days, just making the sisters feel beautiful and making us all feel valued. And so, yeah, I just love being in Queens. I love those times in Brooklyn at Restoration Plaza when we do all those events. So
yeah, yeah, we had a fashion show at the school. Remember the public school?
Yes.
We had a fashion show, and every year is my biggest thing that I love to do is the my sister's expo.
Yep.
So I haven't been able to do that this year, but that's always a good turnout. The Sisters Expo is always good. We also always have a lot of vendors who come and they shop and enjoy some talks about how to get a business started. So that was really fun. I really enjoyed doing the Business Expo. So look out for that next summer, Business Expo.
Yes, and it's so helpful to remember the tea parties for the little ones. And so,
this year we had to do the tea party in the park because of COVID. So we had to social distance and have it in the park for the little ones. Some people came out, not a lot of people, but they were able to at least enjoy themselves and run around in the park. We tried to teach the girls how to jump double dutch. But they're young, so they really didn't care about it. But, you know, some of them was like, oh, okay, I'm going to learn this.
At least you did it. I think our guest is on the line. Do you
waiting?
Want me to
okay.
bring her
so,
in?
So, yes, we're going to have Nurse Juana. She's going to discuss her experience working in the hospital and, you know, during this time of COVID and what she's experienced. So I'm excited to hear from her. We have a few questions.
I'm here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Okay, good. So, you want to introduce yourself?
So, you've already introduced me very well. My name is Juana. I am a nurse. I've been a nurse since 2005, I think. I wanted to chime in on what Hasna was just saying about Nisa. I also want to thank you for inviting me to your show. So Nisa is definitely one of those sisters who are very, very special. I met her, if it wasn't in the tea party, it might have been that for Ramadan. I think she came over to my house. I had no idea who she was.
Yeah.
And we just clicked from then on forward, and we've known each other since then. And even when we kind of disconnect, she always has a way to reconnect, always. And I'm very thankful and blessed to have known her and have her in my life. Those are facts. It's facts.
Alhamdulillah. I'm happy that you guys have been always very supportive of my ventures or whatever I wanted to do. You guys are always supportive, so I appreciate that from you guys.
We appreciate you because just you know, as sisters, we often feel like, you know, we sometimes feel forgotten, and we, you know, just you're always making us not only feel valued, but just always just being community focused and letting us know that we're not alone. And I think that that's just so wonderful.
Alhamdulillah. So let's get into these questions, Miss Juana. Are you ready?
I guess.
Okay. So one of my questions for you is, if you feel sick, symptoms that you might have that suggest you might have COVID, and do you need to go to the hospital all the time? Should we always go to the hospital, or should we just look out for certain things before we actually go to the hospital?
So what's scary about this virus is that it's totally unknown. It's new, and it can mask itself into so many different things. And something like a runny nose, we assume, oh, it's allergies. Or something like a sore throat, you assume, oh, you know, it's allergies. And then the other way around also, you may have a sore throat, and right away you think it's COVID, and maybe it's just strep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do a lot of self-assessment. So if you have fevers or chills, a cough, and all these things are new, right? Shortness of breath, difficulty breathing. If you're like extremely tired, not because you've been up all night or because you just haven't been able to rest, you just feel overwhelmingly tired, muscle aches, body aches, headaches, loss of taste of smell, that is different, you know, loss of taste of smell, but it has to be like a new thing, a sore throat, congestion, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. So if you have any of these symptoms, what you'll do is you'll call your doctor. Before going to the hospital, you should always call a doctor and tell them about these symptoms. And one of the things that now they're promoting a lot is for you to get tested, even if you don't have symptoms, right? So when do you go to the hospital? You're going to go to the hospital if you can't breathe. And like if you're having severe shortness of breath, like you can't breathe, you feel like your chest is caving in. And this is new for you, you know? It's not like you was running up the stairs and now you're out of breath, or you've been, you know, running on the bike or doing exercise. It's you're sitting here and now you just all of a sudden can't breathe because you feel your chest feels tight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is when you're going to go in. But other than that, one of the reasons that, although the hospital rates, they're going up, but one of the reasons that, you know, a lot of people are not going to the hospital is because they're doing these self-assessments at home. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, you know. So.
Okay. That's good. Thank you. Hasan, do you have any follow-up to that, to what she said, or...
Yeah, I really thank you so much for bringing up about the loss of smell, because I actually had COVID back in April, and that was my first sign, was the fact that I was making something that's usually really fragrant and I could not taste it, I could not smell. And so, you know, back then that wasn't, when COVID first started, that wasn't one of the main symptoms. So
no, it wasn't.
Yeah, so that's, I went to urgent care actually, and they're like, yeah, just assume that you have COVID and self-quarantine. And then the next day, actually through my job, I did get tested, and you know, the results came back fairly quickly, but like you said, yeah, I tested positive, and that was my main symptom.
You know, that's
now,
so
can
funny,
you
I went to, I'm sorry, Juana.
No, go ahead.
No, you know, I went to urgent care also at the end of March. I got sick. We were at work. They wasn't allowing us to wear masks. I guess no one thought it was as serious as it was. So our clients would come in with masks and gloves on, but the workers weren't able to wear any masks or gloves. So people started getting sick, you know, falling out of work or whatever. And one day I just felt so bad that I took my lunch break. I laid down and went to sleep on my lunch break. I was like, something is wrong because I never fall asleep.
You're just tired.
At lunch. So I was so out of it. Like, I just felt like I was walking, but I wasn't walking. You know, like if you are kind of walking on air or in the clouds or something like that. So the next day, I stayed home. I woke up in the middle of the night gasping for air. I couldn't breathe. So then the next day, I was like, I'm going to go to urgent care. And he was like, oh, we have no idea what's wrong. We don't know what this could be. Maybe, oh, do you feel like you need your asthma pump? Because, you know, I have asthma. So I was like, well, yeah, that would be good. So they gave me a prescription for the asthma pump. And then I just got worse over time. I just kept getting worse. So I called my doctor, and she was like, yeah, you definitely have COVID, you know? And I'm like, what the heck did I pay $50 to urgent care for them to tell me they didn't know what was going on? You know? So
how early was this?
It was the end of March.
Yeah, they had no clue. They were, mm-hmm. well, they say they had no clue. They had no idea what was happening. I experienced where what I thought I had was the flu, and this is in mm-hmm. late February. Mm-hmm. And I was so exhausted. I went to the supermarket, to the pharmacy to go get medicine. I sat in my car and I went to sleep in the parking lot for 4 hours, knocked out. I was tired, exhausted. Now, what I wanted to ask Hasna was, are you still not able to smell or taste anything? Because I know people who have tested positive, back in March, back in April, and got it really bad. And still to this day, they can't taste anything.
Oh, that's a good question. So for me, that my sense of taste and smell came back pretty quickly. It was actually only a few days of not being able to taste and smell. But I have to tell you that the fatigue is what lasted the longest and the body aches. Mm-hmm. I had COVID for a good month. And so the sense of losing taste and smell, that came back quickly, but just the fatigue and the body aches dragged on for a while.
Wow. Alhamdulillah, we survived, you know?
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Okay, let me get to some more questions. All right. So I know you mentioned about the hospital. Has the hospital calmed down, or is it still a lot of people coming in for COVID and we just don't hear about it?
So I was looking up some stats, right? And according to NYC.gov, the hospitalization rate is slowly creeping up.
Mm-hmm.
So where in October, we were down to like 558 admissions. I'm looking at now, as of November 16th, we're up to 1,210. But this isn't like daily, you know, this is a 7-day average.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to understand that, so holidays are coming up, people are getting together, the restaurants opened back up,
mm-hmm.
Schools were open for a minute, although the rate of exposure is not within the schools. There's no, you know, they're not saying that they're happening in the school. It's more happening when, you know, people get together. There's different religious holidays that just passed and more to come. So that's where the danger is. And so are there people dying, more people dying? Absolutely not. Not like what was happening in the beginning of this year, the beginning of this whole event. But, yeah, so the hospitalization rate is slowly creeping back up, according to what, you know, NYC.gov is saying, and the CDC, they're saying across the country is definitely going back up. I think that we're not hearing about it so much because it's not as drastic or as sad as it was back in March, April, and even June, where everybody was just, you know, people were just dropping like flies. And that was terrifying. And I it may sound like the commercials, but I think, you know, people are doing a better job at washing your hands, keeping your distance, whether it's being paranoid or not. And the hospital is doing a better job at how people are being treated, you know.
Okay.
I think we have a call.
Oh, we have another call?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, okay. Someone wants to ask a question of you, Juana. Do you mind taking a call?
Sure.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, caller.
Hi, I just wanted to say hi to my sister, and someone else wanted to say hi to her.
Say hi.
Hi.
Hi, sister. Who's this?
This is your nephew who's being shy.
Oh, now he want to act like he's shy? Hi, family.
We just wanted to say hello, and we're listening in and listening to the COVID. You know, I think I had COVID back in, January when I first came back to New York, and I was so sick, and I was listening to you talk about the asthma pump, and remember I was using Lennox's asthma machine and his albuterol and his budesonide, and that kind of kept me, you know, held me down until I went to the emergency room. But at that time, COVID wasn't a thing, so they gave me the Z-Pack, remember, to help me.
Right, they wasn't telling us it was a thing, but it was a thing.
Exactly.
just
told me I had, right, they told me I had a sinus infection, but I knew my breathing. I could hear, like, my lungs, you know,
right.
kind of like
you were so sick.
Right, and so weak and everything, but it was just Lennox's asthma machine that helped me get through the night because I couldn't sleep neither. You know, I was down and fatigued and no appetite, no energy, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just wanted to say that and say hello. We're listening in.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. You're doing a great job with your public speaking.
Thank you. Oh, thank
I'm you. Listening, so I'm hanging up. You can disconnect me now. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
And if anyone else wants to call, the number is 516-387-1905.
Okay, so Juana, another question I had was, should we wash our fruits and vegetables and wipe off items that we are still purchasing from the store?
So as far as the fruits and vegetables, I don't think that we should do anything extra than what we already do. You should be washing your fruits and vegetables with warm water and whatever disinfectant it is that you use for the vegetables and the fruits. You know, you're not going to go and dip it in bleach or dip it in alcohol or anything crazy like that. What I have found is that there aren't any studies that prove that COVID is transmitted through food. It's more like, you know, somebody sneezing on you, somebody talking, and, you know, the air, the spit or whatever crosses, you know, to your face, or, you know, you inhale it. This is how it's being transmitted. I've even seen where it's even sexually transmitted. But it isn't being transmitted in food. I think it's more, so why are we afraid to go to restaurants? It's because of the small, you know, space, the connection between people. It's people to people, not food to people, if that makes sense, you know?
Right, right. But what if someone is, like, preparing your food and talking over the food while they're preparing it?
That's what we should be worried about when it comes to restaurants,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, I went to the pizza shop the other day, and the guy took my money, and I'm thinking, well, you know, there could be COVID on that. How does he know I just washed my hand or not? Right? So he took the money, and you already know this,
uh-huh,
so
uh-huh. You do not play.
He took the register, and then he grabbed my slice, and I was just like, oh, God, now what? You know?
Uh-huh,
now what?
Uh-huh.
So I think that's where the danger is. But there hasn't been any study that has shown that COVID sits in tomatoes or our vegetables. I haven't found any at all. And I, working closely with the Department of Health, that's not something that they are concerned with. You should obviously wash your meats, wash your food the food and vegetables the way you normally would. I don't think there's anything extra to do. You should probably be worried more about pesticides than COVID on your tomato. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what about in the school system? I know you also work in the school system. How are they doing, and how are they protecting the children?
So right now, as you know, the city has closed and gone remotely completely.
Right.
And today I get news that here up in Westchester, same thing. Some of our schools here have closed as of today and gone remotely. Except for special ed students, they'll be able to come into the buildings for special needs. So what do? They keep the kids separate, 6 feet apart. Their tables have little plastic coverings. What else? The kids have to wear masks, and the masks that they use are not supposed to be the ones that have the little filters in the front, like the N95
right.
masks that first came out with the filters. Those are no
right.
good because... So you're protecting yourself, but the air that you're exhaling, you're not protecting everybody else. So the kids are not allowed to do that. And when they first walk into the building, they're taking their temperatures, although not everybody has a fever with COVID, but
right.
they are taking their temperatures. And way before entering the building, they have to do a screening. So the parents will get a text message or an email, and it'll ask something like, have you been around anybody who's tested positive for COVID? Have you traveled outside of New York State for more than 24 hours? Have you, has anybody been in your house that's traveled away? You know, these questions. And do you have any of the symptoms that I have mentioned earlier before? And it's a little crazy because all kids have mucus coming out their nose. Like, that's just the norm. You know,
right.
have runny
but
noses.
Let me ask you a question about
child,
that. Let me interrupt you for a minute, ask you a question about that survey. So, you heard on the news that they were saying that there were some parents who made a pact that they would not answer questions that had to do with COVID. So say they answer a survey, but they're going to say no to everything, although their children are experiencing these symptoms, but they're just going to say no anyway and send their children to school. So how can they really?
So this is where teachers, and at one point you was a teacher, right? So this is where teachers become parents and become medical professionals inside their classroom. And it's sad, but this is what happens. So a teacher sees a kid having a runny nose, a kid complains he has a headache, a kid, anything that normally they would have never sent to the nurse, they're sending those kids to the nurse. And so me as a nurse, I'm looking at you and I'm asking you, you know, does your head hurt? And the kid says, yes, you're going home. And you're going home for everything. Like, you're going home and you're not coming back for 14 days unless you get me a test result that's negative. And then if the parent decides that they're not going to test their child, that class has to be closed and that class has to go remote for 14 days. So, I mean, the parents can go ahead, and that's really sad because if there is somebody who's sick, then you're spreading it. And I also understand the other way around, too. Many parents don't want to test because if someone in your household tests for COVID, everyone has to stay home for 14 days or until the test results are in and they're negative. So there's families who work and they have to go to work to be able to make money. And so they decide not to test the child. They leave the child at home for the 10 days and, you know, the kid comes back. But if we at the school and everybody is diligently watching out for that one little cough, for that one little sniffle, one little one, and if anybody shows up, even the staff, if anybody shows up that way, you're going home and you're going to get picked up. And if you don't get picked up, ACS is called and it becomes a whole huge thing. You get reported to the Department of Health. They call you. So they're doing a lot of things. And granted, you as a family member and as a parent have the right to say, no, I'm not testing. So then we say, well, then your child can't come in the building for 10 days. You know what I mean? And so I don't know how it's going to play out because within the next few days, they're going to be having it where 20% of the staff and students have to have random testing in the schools. So there's parents upset about that too, you know, because why would you be shoving anything up my child's nose without my permission? But allowing your child to come into the building, you're giving permission, you know? So it's a little sticky. It's a sticky area.
Yeah, it is. But everybody definitely has to work as a team, definitely.
Right.
Okay, we're going to ask you one last question because we're about to wrap it up. So your experience in the hospital, how has that been during COVID? Have you worked with any COVID patients? I know you have a son that's a nurse, and he might have worked with some COVID patients.
Oh, my son worked with many COVID patients. It was really sad for him. He's a fresh nurse, and my son was walking over bodies. He was closing people's eyes and closing their mouths, and he was literally walking over bodies on the floor. It was really, it was very drastic for him, very traumatic for him. The story, I wish he was here to be able to share his experiences. Those are going to be lasting memories for him that are not going to be too great, you know? That was his story. My story is a lot different than his. I work in labor and delivery. He works in med-surg in ICU. And labor delivery for us, what was hard was not allowing, it's supposed to be a happy moment, right, with families in there, and not allowing that to be, you know, moms were giving birth by themselves with us, but it's not the same, you know, to have your partner there is very different. And we were in the midst of debating whether a mother who was positive, do we take this baby from her and, you know, allow the baby to go into the nursery, where all this time we were doing mom and baby bonding, and that might have been broken in some places. So it was more that on my floor, on labor and delivery, was more that than seeing death or anything like that.
Well, thank you so much, Juana, for coming on and discussing this topic with us today. We're going to have to wrap it up, but next week, inshallah, we're going to have it a little bit longer. But we thank everyone for tuning in, and I hope you tune in next time. The show is called the Muslim Sister Circle, so you can look for us online We'll be having our handles and all that stuff on social media soon, the Muslim Sister Circle. Thank you so much for everyone. Thank you, Juana. Thank you, Hasana.
Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And one more thing. Whosoever does not thank the people does not thank Allah.
Okay.